So as we celebrate the baptism of the Lord, have you ever wondered why was Jesus baptized? Or this is something that you don't think about every day, you know, all right? But now I ask you to think, right? Why was Jesus baptized? Did he need to be baptized?
No.
No. Yes. No. Right. Think about, well, maybe thinking about our baptism kind of helps. What happens? What are the effects when someone receives the sacrament of baptism? All of your sins are forgiven. Going back to original sin, you become an adopted son or daughter of God the Father, right? You are infused with the Holy Spirit. You receive a new set of godparents, also known as godparents, right? spiritual parents to help you in your journey. But does Jesus need any of this? Like, he's God, right? So he has no sins that needs to be forgiven, right? He is the new Adam that undoes everything. Become a child of God. He is the only begotten Son of God, which we say at the Creed. Infused with the Holy Spirit, he's the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, right? Receive new set of parents, spiritual godparents. He doesn't need any, right? So why did he get baptized? It's something like this. As parents, are you proud of your children? Parents are proud of their children. I think so. And I think that is precisely the reason why we have to go around proclaiming the whole world how much we're proud of our children, especially in the back, the bumper stickers of your cars. Right? So go ahead. As a kid, one time I told my mom, "Hey, Mom, I'm not going to make the honor roll this semester because I don't want the sticker in the back. I just want a nice, clean car, you know?" We got all this, my son is an honor roll student at Rolling Hills Middle School, or I'm a Stanford dad, or a SEU mom, or whatever, right? So take that concept and bring it back to Jesus' times. They didn't have cars, they had donkeys, right? So I saw this Christmas card, and this Christmas card had three donkeys, three families, right? And on the back of the donkey, they had a little sticker, right? And the sticker says, donkey number one, the sticker says, "My child is an honor student at the temple." Ooh, good for you, you know, all right? The second donkey, right? "We are proud parents of a scribe." We are proud parents of a scribe or a Pharisee. Okay, good for you, all right? Now, what would it say on the back of Mary and Joseph, their donkey? What would it say on the back of their donkey? On the Christmas card, it reads, "My son is God." All right. So if I was the other parents, I would look at that and go, "What?" I would feel jealous, right? Or I probably wouldn't believe it. I said, "Really? You know, yeah, that's student, honor student temple. Scribe, Pharisee, you see, she's God, you know." What about when Jesus was with John, right? John keeps saying, "One mightier than I is coming after me." But Jesus, comes from Nazareth. His stepfather is a carpenter, right? Imagine if you went to kindergarten with Jesus. Just think about that. You went to kindergarten, maybe first grade with Jesus, and he's like a normal kid. Maybe he's a little smart, he knows about the Torah and all this, okay, but he's just a normal kid, and you don't see him, and then he comes back when he's 30 and he says he's God. Really? Should I believe that little bumper sticker on the back of the donkey? No. All right, that's why people didn't believe it until Jesus was baptized by John. And what happened after Jesus is baptized by John? What does it say in the gospel today? The heavens were torn open, and the Spirit, like a dove, descending upon him, and a voice from the heavens saying, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." Right? So if I was Joseph or Mary, I would tell people to look at that and look at the parents of the scribes and the Pharisees and the honor roll student at the temple, and I would go, "Booyah." There it is. There it is. Now do you believe? Don't tell me the heavens were opened up when your kid was baptized. Because that's what happened when my kid was baptized. Because he is the Son of God. Right? Jesus is baptized not because he needs to be, but to reveal his public identity to us. To show us that he is, pound for pound, the real deal. The Son of God. And not just to show off who he is, but Jesus is saying, come. Like the first reading says, come. Come to the water, all you who are thirsty. I want to invite you to a different kind of life. I want to invite you to a life of grace, to a life of holiness. Come share my Father's joy. Come share my Father's love by becoming sons and daughters of God, by becoming my brother. Right? And if you look at a person's life, there are many important moments, right? Kodak moments, Hallmark moments, graduations, weddings, birth, anniversaries. But if you really think about it, I think perhaps the most important moment in a person's life is the sacrament of baptism. Because that moment, the moment that you are baptized, that marks the beginning of a relationship with God. Because it marks the beginning of everlasting life. Right? When you are baptized, you truly become a part of God's family. Let me tell you just like how grateful the benefits are of being baptized. Not just the forgiveness of sins, not just become a child of God, not just the Holy Spirit, not just getting godparents, but even if, let's say you get baptized, and let's say you never come to church again. You never set foot on church. In fact, you don't even believe in God again. You still receive the benefits of being a baptized member. Because every time we celebrate the Mass together, after the homily, we recite the creed. And after the creed, what happens after the creed? We say the prayers of the faithful, and you are a member of the faithful. Even if you never come to church again, right? Even if you stop believing in God, we still pray for you. Even after you die, we still pray for you. Because we say, let us pray for the faithful departed. That's you, right? I mean, compare that with Costco membership. Which one you want? Yeah, Costco, you got to renew that thing. This one, you just baptize it one time, you're set. There is, I mean, that's the best seal you can possibly get. We pray for you until you die, even after you die, right? There's no other better membership than that, right? And that's why Pope Francis is telling us, think about revisiting our baptism. Last year at the papal audience, he asked, "Do you know the date of your baptism?" So let me ask you, raise your hand if you know the date of your baptism. Like, oh yes, scratchings, yes, yes, yes. I know you're beautiful, okay? We don't need to. Yeah. Don't worry, I don't know when I was baptized either. All right? But that's my homework, and that's going to be your homework too, okay? All right? To figure out the date of your baptism. Pope Francis says, to remind us that that day marks the beginning of everlasting life, when Jesus became your brother. So we have to remember that. We have to cherish that. And we have to celebrate that, right? So part of your homework today is go search through the paperwork. If you don't remember, call the parish that you were baptized, okay? And tell them, figure out the date of your baptism, mark it in your calendar, and celebrate that day, okay? And not only that, What about the spiritual family that we received when we were baptized? Do we have any godfathers, godmothers here? Yes, wonderful, wonderful. Now, when was the last time you talked to your godson or your goddaughter? Or vice versa, let's not put the spotlight on just on you. You know, those of all of us who are baptized, we should have godparents, right? You should have a godfather, godmother. When was the last time you reached out to your godfather or your godmother? Right? That's what I'm talking about. Last year, when we celebrated the baptism of the Lord, I don't know if I celebrated this Mass, but last year at the Masses that I celebrated here at St. Lucie, I gave the homework, and I asked all of us to reconnect with your godfather, with your godmother, reconnect with your godson and goddaughter. And to my surprise, somebody actually did the homework. To my surprise. One parishioner, her name is Carol. Her goddaughter is Joanne. So Carol came up to me 6 months afterwards, and she said, you know, Father Steve, you know, I have not talked with my goddaughter Joanne for over 25 years. Okay, but I was challenged by what you said, and I said, okay, I mean, I should do my duty as a godmother, right? After all, that's what I promised. I said, I do, right? But it was not easy. It was not easy to contact her because if you haven't talked to someone for 25 years, is it going to be easy? No, not easy. But so she was hesitant. And instead of calling her, she emailed her. Right? And thinking, well, at least I did my homework. Check. Right? But to her surprise, Carol received an email from her goddaughter in a couple of hours. Very quick. And she was just overjoyed, delighted to hear from her estranged godmother for 25 years. And Carol discovered that Joanne, she was going to, she was in the military, that she was going to be assigned overseas in a couple of weeks. So they quickly made plans to get together, catch up, and see each other, right? And then she told me how sharing their faith journey, so powerful. It was so powerful for her and for her goddaughter as well. And she didn't know why she waited 25 years to do so. Right? And they promised to keep each other in prayer, perhaps even Skype while she's overseas. Right? My hope is that all of us can experience this, the same joy, the same surprise, the same support, the same love that Carol and Joanne experienced, right? So that is what I ask you to do for your homework this week, huh? Number one, figure out the date of your baptism. Figure that out. Mark it on your calendar. Circle it. Star it. And celebrate that day, because that is the day that Jesus Christ became your brother, that you became an adopted son and daughter of God the Father. That is the day that you began your everlasting life. So celebrate that. And number two, reconnect, rekindle with your godfather, godmother, godson, goddaughter. You got to have one of those at least, right? And if you say, well, you know, Father Steve, my godparents, like I'm 7 years old. So imagine how old my godparents are. They're dead, you know. And I say, my response to that is, well, I have my godparents, but after they die, I'm still going to ask them to pray for me. I don't think that's selfish. Just because the godparents died, does that mean your relationship with them stops? No. Even after they die, they're in heaven praying for you. And why can't I pray for my godparents so that they can end up in heaven? Right? Why can't you pay them a visit at the cemetery, right? Or talk to their children or their family members, right? So that doesn't exclude you. So talk to your godfather, godmother, godson, goddaughter. Call them, text them, email them, Skype them, or write them a letter, or just straight up visit them. How about that, right? And talk to each other. and say, hey, I haven't talked to you in a week. Oh, how's life? Or I haven't talked to you in 40 years. You know, how's life? Right? Sorry, I didn't connect with you before, but now I want to reach out. And how is your relationship with Jesus Christ? How's it been? How can we support each other, hold each other accountable, and be honest? Maybe we can go to Mass together. Maybe I can offer up a novena for you. Maybe you're going through some problems, some difficulties. Maybe I can offer up an act of sacrifice. Maybe I can fast for you and you for me, right?